The fairy tale castle logo of Walt Disney Pictures appears, but orange instead of its more usual blue, and lit by a strange, flame-like light. Walt Disney Pictures presents Brother Bear. A pair of hands strike sparks from a flint to ignite a pile of kindling that bursts into flames. A white-haired Inuit wearing a fur-collar tunic addresses his tribe. Bright-eyed, he smiles, punctuating his speech with slow, smooth hand gestures.
This is a story from long ago, when the great mammoths still roamed our lands.
He draws on the rock wall.
It's the story of my two brothers and me. When the three of us were young, we were taught that the world is full of magic.
The northern lights swirl around a mountain peak.
The source of this magic is the ever-changing lights that dance across the sky.
An elderly Inuit woman climbs the snow-covered mountain.
The shaman woman of our village told us that these lights are the spirits of our ancestors and that they have the power to make changes in our world.
Shapes of birds and animals appear in the lights.
Small things become big.
A baby caribou followed by an adult.
Winter turns to spring.
Flowers bloom at the old woman's feet.
One thing always changes into another.
She picks up a small rock.
But the greatest change I ever saw was that of my brother. A boy who desperately wanted to be a man.
The boy runs towards his two older brothers.
Get down!
What?
Get down!
As he races to the camp where their canoes are drawn up, a herd of caribou thunder behind him. All three boys duck down behind their canoes. Kenai the boy laughs as the caribou leap over the canoes, missing them by inches. Danahi, his older brother, gets clipped around the ear by a stray hoof. The herd gallop away down a valley dotted with pine trees. Kenai grins.
Never try to milk a caribou.
Danahi holds Kenai down and tries to spit on him.
No, come on!
Will you two knock it off?
That's all right, Sika. After today, he won't treat me like that anymore.
All right, the big manhood ceremony. It doesn't matter what the spirits say. You'll always be our baby brother.
Oh, yeah? Well, wait till I get my totem.
Baby brother.
They scram.
Hey, I said knock it off. Now, the quicker we get these fish, the faster we're going to get to your ceremony. So let's all just try and get along for a few hours. Okay, Danahi?
Whatever you say.
Okay, Kenai.
So, what are we waiting for?
Kenai has slipped from under his big brother Sitka's arm and is already sitting in his canoe on the lake.
Woo!
Sky and the great beyond with its many paths, man and nature live side by side. In this wilderness of danger and beauty, live three brothers bonded by love, their hearts full of joy. They ask now for guidance, reaching out. To the skies up above, great spirits of all who live before, take our hands and lead us.
As the three brothers paddle past towering glaciers and spectacular waterfalls on their way home, the white-haired shaman woman also makes her way home down from the sacred mountain.
Brothers to each other in this world we remain, truly brothers all the same. Give us strength so we understand. And the things we do, the choices we make, give direction to all life's plans. To look and wonder at all we've been given in a world that's not always as it seems. Every corner we turn, it leads to another.
not a rock. It'll be my totem. Yeah, I'll probably get like a saber-toothed tiger for bravery or strength or greatness. You know, something that fits me.
How about a mammoth for your fat head? So make sure you get that basket tied up.
Don't worry. No stupid bear is going to get anywhere near this fish.
Just tie it up.
Just tie it up.
She's back. Hey, everybody. Kanata's back.
Come on.
They all rush off to greet the shaman.
Let's go.
Oh, come on.
Kenai hoists the fish basket up into a tree, out of reach. The knot slips and it falls. He sees, but runs off after the others. The tribe gather for the totem ritual on a rocky cliff ledge high above the sea, where a gigantic overhang acts as a roof. On the back wall of the overhang are paintings of animals and handprints of the tribe. The old woman lights a ceremonial fire.
Well, hello there, sweetheart. What a big girl.
Tanana the shaman addresses the tribe.
When each of us comes of age, the great spirits reveal to us a totem that helps guide us through our lives. Some of us use courage to guide us. Others, patience.
The old lady hands the girl back to her mother.
And some of us, beauty.
Girlishly, she strokes her long white hair.
Kenai?
Kenai kneels in front of her.
You nervous?
Excited.
You should be. It's a good one. Kenai, I have been to the mountain where the lights touch the earth, and the great spirits have revealed to me your totem. To become a man, your actions must be guided by one thing. Your totem is...
She brings out a stone in the shape of a bear.
Love.
Kenai stares.
What?
Yes, love.
The bear of love?
A love that connects and unites all living things.
Who wants to trade?
There is no trading.
She slaps him.
Kenai. Love is the most precious of totems. It reveals itself in unexpected ways. Let love guide your actions. Then one day you'll be a man and will place your mark next to those of our ancestors.
She follows him to where the rock wall at the back of the overhang is covered with handprints, turns him round to face the rest of the tribe, and lifts his right hand high into the air. Sitka, the oldest brother, and Danahi cheer along with the rest. Tanana hugs Kenai. Later, he trudges back through the forest to where the fish basket was hanging. Danahi rushes up and hugs him mockingly.
There he is! Come here, lover boy.
Leave me alone.
Oh, Kenai, wait. I'm sorry.
What?
Your totem. I think it's really great.
You do?
Yeah. Then I made you something.
Really?
A flower wreath.
Now when you skip around loving everybody, you'll smell so sweet.
Sitka.
Well, isn't this nice? Instead of fighting, you're giving each other flowers.
Yeah.
Isn't it lovely? He's so in touch with his totem already.
Hey, dog breath. Go take care of the fish.
Sure. Kenai loves me. He loves me not. Kenai loves me. He loves me not.
Kenai goes to throw a stone.
Kenai.
Someday I'm gonna just... He's just such a...
Hey, bonehead. Just because his totem is wisdom doesn't mean he's wise. I mean, look at him.
He loves me. He loves me. Hey, whoa.
Hi, Danahi.
Oh, hi.
Ooh. Yeah, I guess the spirits messed up on both of our totems.
You know, I felt the same way when Tanana gave me mine.
Get out of here.
No, really. I said, the eagle of guidance? What does that mean? But now that I'm older, I know it's about being a leader. And keeping an eye on you two.
Kenai breaks from his big brother's grip.
I just want to get my handprint on that wall.
Just be patient, Kenai. When you live by your totem, you will.
Really?
Guarantee it.
Kenai grasps the token that hangs around his neck.
But come on, the bear of love? I mean, a bear doesn't love anyone. They don't think. They don't feel. I mean, they're...
Bear tracks lead to the fish basket.
They're thieves.
You didn't tie it up, did you? You should have got the totem of pinheads.
Knock it off.
We'll just make another basket.
We? Oh, no. No, it took me 2 weeks to make that basket. You get Loverboy to do it. He's the one that's messing things up all the time. Typical Kenai.
All right, I'll go get your basket.
Kenai, wait. Kenai!
Kenai sets off into the wilderness, spear in hand.
What?
Sitka shakes his head at Danahi. Kenai, climbing up into the mountains, finds the fish basket ripped to shreds. Angrily, he kicks what's left of it. Seeing the big brown bear heading off into the trees, he hurls a stick at it and then a stone.
Kenai! Where'd he go? If we're lucky, far away.
The two brothers look up to see Kenai falling down a rocky cliff base onto a ledge.
Kenai!
Sitka scrambles to the top of the cliff and peers down at Kenai.
Kenai!
Sitka, no! You gotta get out of here!
What?
The bear! Look behind you!
The bear rears up over Sitka.
Hey, bear, come on! Over here! Come on, bear, come this way!
Hurling stones at the animal, Danahi lowers it after him, away from Sitka. Sitka rescues Kenai, and together they race along the edge of the ice cliff after Danahi and the bear. Danahi falls into a crevice.
Danahi! Hold on!
Kenai pulls Danahi back to the surface while Sitka fends off the bear with his spear. The bear knocks Sitka down. It steps past Sitka's prostrate body at the edge of the ice cliff and heads towards Kenai, who's still struggling to pull Danahi clear of the crevice. Sitka looks up groggily, sees the danger, and the bear walking close to a crack in the ice that ends close to Sitka's shoulder. Summoning up all his strength, he jams his spear into the crack and pulls with all his might.
Sitka!
Sitka!
Kenai looks back in horror to see the crack quickly widen. The edge of the ice cliff starts to crumble and fall, taking Sitka and the bear with it. Huge slabs of ice tumble into the meltwater lake below. Kenai and Danahi crawl to the edge of the ice cliff and stare down into the lake.
Sitka!
The bear rises to the surface, thrashing and spluttering. It swims to dry land, shakes itself off, and wanders off into the forest.
Come on!
The two boys clamber down the ice cliff and splash into the shallow water.
Sitka! Sitka!
Kenai finds Sitka's spear.
Sitka!
Sitka!
Sitka! Sitka, where are you?
Danahi sees something.
Kenai!
As Kenai wades towards the object, the water rises above his waist. He grabs it. It's the antler-decorated hood of Sitka's caribou skin parka.
No.
Sitka!
He tosses it down and wades further into the lake.
Sitka!
Danahi picks up the hood, stares at it, and screws his eyes shut in anguish.
Sitka! Sitka, where are you? Sitka!
At night, a torchlit procession makes its way up to the overhang on the cliff edge. Tanana wraps Sitka's few possessions in a bundle, along with his eagle totem. Later, she stands alongside black-haired Danahi and Kenai, as they watch flames rise from a pyre of wood and moose antlers. Sparks from the pyre climb into the night sky and vanish into the mysterious, shimmering green and blue curtain of the northern lights. Angrily, Kenai turns away from the funeral pyre. Danahi stays behind, his face crumbling with grief. Kenai wraps something in a pouch, slips it into his parka, and picks up two stone-tipped spears. As Danahi stares into the smoke drifting from the embers of the pyre under the enormous overhang in the cliff, Kenai comes up behind him.
You ready?
For what?
We're going after the bear.
Kenai tosses a spear to Danahi.
I know what you're feeling, but killing that bear is wrong.
Wrong? Our brother is dead, and it's because of that monster.
I don't blame the bear, Kenai.
Kenai's eyes widen with astonishment at his brother's attitude.
I see.
Killing that bear won't make you a man.
Oh, now you're trying to be wise.
I'm trying to follow my totem. Why can't you do the same?
You really think love has anything to do with being a man? A man wouldn't just sit here and do nothing.
Kenai!
Danahi grabs him.
Don't upset the spirits.
spirits. Thanks for your wisdom.
Kenai turns to go and finds himself face to face with the tiny white-haired shaman, Tanana. She looks up at him sadly. Kenai pulls the bear totem from around his neck. Snapping the cord that holds it, he tosses it into the ashes of the pyre and walks away. Tanana rescues the stone totem from the embers. As she brushes the ashes from it, she gazes up at Danahi.
I've got to stop him.
He takes the totem from her, picks up his spear, and sets off after Kenai. Tanana mournfully turns her eyes to the sky.
You left too soon, Sitka. Your brothers need your guidance.
As if in answer, the northern lights flare up, green, purple, and blue. In the light of dawn, Kenai makes his way back to the ice cliff and the meltwater lake. On the muddy bank, he finds the bear's enormous paw prints leading into the forest. With a look of grim determination, he sets off, following the tracks. Running past a cascading waterfall, he stops to examine a freshly broken twig on a tree. Leaping down from the crest of a hill, he finds himself at the head of a wide river valley, hemmed in by rocky crags and steep wooded hills. At his feet are a set of bear prints. He ducks down, his dark almond-shaped eyes moving warily over the unfamiliar landscape. Taking a steadying breath, he walks on in a half-crouch. On a large boulder to one side of the track, something moves. Kenai points his spear at a mountain gopher. Kenai's eyes flit from side to side. With a sigh, he jams the point of his spear into the ground and slumps down. The brown bear looms up above him. Kenai looks up in terror. Kenai peers out from behind a branch as the bear sniffles and rears up, its mouth gaping wide. Kenai screws up his eyes, summoning up his courage, and leaps out at the bear. He spins onto his feet in the now empty clearing, just glimpsing the bear lumbering off up the wooded hill. Narrowing his eyes, Kenai hurries after him, spear in hand. He leaps nimbly along a high-sided rocky gully. The bear trundles over icy, craggy rocks with Kenai closing the gap between them. The bear lollops into a cave, stopping in a shallow pool of water to look round. Kenai appears at the mouth of the cave, and gritting his teeth, he leaps in and wades through the water, but the bear is already climbing up an icy slope way above Kenai's head. Aiming to head off the bear, Kenai clambers up a slope in front of where the bear is climbing. It comes to the edge of a ledge, its eyes fearful as it looks out into the abyss below. Kenai leaps from the top of his rock. With nowhere to run, the bear turns to face him. Far below them, Danahi comes across the bear's paw prints. Above, the bear rears up on its hind legs. Kenai lunges. The bear catches the spear in its jaw, swings Kenai out over the edge of the cliff, then tosses him and his spear back onto the rock ledge. Below them, Danahi sees the bear standing over his brother.
Kenai.
Danahi slips swiftly along a gully as the bear grapples with Kenai, who scrambles free and pulls himself up to the top of a narrow pointed rock just out of the bear's reach. The animal flings its full weight against it, dislodging small rocks with its force. Kenai spots his spear lying on the ground, and he does a forward roll over the bear's head. The bear turns nimbly round and lumbers after the boy, who grimaces. Kenai retrieves his spear and points it up at the bear, its dying growl echoing eerily from cave mouth to cave mouth as mist curls up from the valley below. Danahi looks round anxiously and heads off. Above him, Kenai, with dark evening clouds rolling swiftly across the sky behind him, clambers out from under the dead bear's body and stares at its lifeless muzzle. Danahi listens in alarm to his brother's yell. Kenai kneels back on his heels, still breathing hard, as thin tendrils of white light twist and turn above his head. His eyes flicker from side to side as he becomes aware of them crisscrossing above his head, bathing the rock in blue light. He grabs his spear and sprints up to a pointed peak of the rock as the threads become molten liquid, gushing and spilling over the edge. Danahi looks up at the mountaintop, shrouded by a white cloud, its base shuddering. Warily, Kenai, bathed in blue light, steps into the shallow pool of luminescent liquid, and clutching his spear, he wades towards the column of streaming whiteness pouring down from the night sky. He pierces an invisible membrane coating the light and is thrown back by an exploding fiery curtain billowing towards him. As he gazes into the northern lights, He can make out the hazy shape of a spirit mammoth with long curling tusks. Buffalo, bison, moose, all galloping together. Fish swim past him, monkeys, wild boar, dancing round him. An eagle flapping its enormous wings lands gracefully in front of him. Kenai's eyes bulge. Sitka in human form appears in the yellow light. He turns his head towards the dead bear, whose body, suffused in yellow light, disappears into the spirit world. Kenai looks in amazement as the spirit eagle lifts him off the ground in its powerful eagle's talons. Danahi, meanwhile, clambers up the front of the sheer rock face. The eagle opens its wings to its widest span, and in a blaze of light, Kenai's human form transmogrifies into a bear, standing on its hind legs. It's gently lowered down through the spirit cloud as Danahi scrambles up the side of the mountain, plants his spear in the rock, and it breaks. Kenai the bear, his brown coat edged in a golden sheen, lands softly on the rock ledge, tiny white lights flowing out from him. Slowly he pulls himself up on all fours. Danahi, undeterred by the loss of his spear, continues to climb as the spirit light recedes, followed by lightning and rain. Amid the downpour, Danahi pulls himself up on the clifftop. He finds the torn remains of Kenai's clothes and the brown bear watching him. He tries to edge away. The bear looks at him with melancholy eyes. It stands on its hind legs. A lightning bolt hits the mountain. The bear falls backwards over the edge and plummets down to the river below. The animal is swept away along the swift current, barely conscious as he's buffeted against riverbank and passing rocks, tossed this way and that, eventually washing up on a shallow bank on his back, his eyes closed. Up on the misty mountain, Danahi sees his brother's spear and a piece of the torn fur-collared parka and gazes down at them sorrowfully. He crouches down to pick up the material.
I don't blame the bear, Kenai.
Danahi squeezes his eyes shut and turns to go.
Man wouldn't just sit here and do nothing.
He stops in his tracks and looks at Kenai's bear totem on his hand. He blinks, looks about him, and picks up Kenai's spear. He slips the totem cord over the jagged blade and tightens it around the base of the spearhead. Oblivious to the rain, he looks deeply at the spear he's holding. It's morning and the sun is shining. A solitary bald eagle flies down from its branch in a forest of redwoods. Tanana, the shaman woman, soaks a rag from the stream and wrings it out before cheerfully applying it to the visible bump on Kenai the bear's forehead.
So, Kenai, you've decided to join the living. Ooh, that's quite a bump you've got there. That must have been one heck of a ride down those rapids, huh?
Tanana?
Kenai sits up and rubs his sore head. His eyes widen in surprise.
Nana, you won't believe this. I was at the top of this huge rock, and all of a sudden this...
Tanana taps him on the snout.
Kenai, I don't speak bear.
He gulps and turns to look at his reflection in the stream. He staggers about in distress as he realizes that he looks like a bear. He gapes at a tickling round tail. His anguished cry brings birds out of their branches.
This isn't gonna work.
The old woman hurls a slipper into his gaping mouth.
Kenai, listen to me. Sitka did this.
Kenai frowns.
Strange. Spirits don't usually make these kind of changes. Oh, my. Sitka must have something really big planned for you. Yep. You are going to get a whole new perspective on things. Oh, do you see in black and white or color? Hey, listen to me. You got yourself into this mess. If you want to change, take it up with your brother's spirit.
Kenai looks up into the sky.
You'll find him on the mountain where the lights touch the earth. He'll help you make up for what you've done wrong.
But I didn't do anything wrong.
She's gone.
Tanana? Tanana! Wait! I didn't do anything wrong! I don't even know how to get there.
What happened to him?
A
He hears voices from a grassy bank.
So you're telling me you didn't eat them, and you have no idea where they are?
Hey, you! You just talked!
Just back away, real slow, like.
How'd you do that?
The two chipmunks drop their acorns and flee.
Are we
there yet? Kenai looks at some birds flying past.
Hey! Wait! Come back! I'm trying to find where the lights...
What's he getting all worked up about, eh?
Gee, I don't know. Maybe the goose pooped on him, eh?
Two antlered moose are watching him.
Gee, I think he's looking over here.
Oh, let's beat it. This
no,
way.
No, this
they
way.
Accidentally lock horns.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, just stay still, okay. Eh?
And hey, you two!
Head down.
Oh, gee, I think he's seen us, eh? Now what?
Act like we're not here.
We're not here.
Shh, what are you doing, eh?
Well, you said to
don't say anything. Shh.
Okay.
I said don't say anything.
Excuse me.
Please don't eat us.
You wouldn't like us, eh? We're really gamey.
Yeah, eat hoofer brains over there.
Oh, nice, eh? Pine cone breath.
Crusty tail.
Twig legs.
Big nose. Sorry.
You went too far that time.
Okay, I'm sorry. Forgive
guys.
Me.
Besides, yours as big as mine.
I'm not eating anybody.
Oh, that's mighty decent of you, eh?
Yeah, hey, my name's Rut. This is my brother, Took.
How's it going, Bear?
Don't call me that.
Mr. Bear?
No, I mean, I'm not a bear. I hate bears.
Well, gee, eh? You're one big beaver.
No kidding, eh?
Do either of you know where the lights touch the earth?
The two moose nod doubtfully.
No. Sorry, Bear.
A beaver.
I'm not a beaver. I'm a bear. No, I mean, I'm not a bear. I'm a man.
Excuse me?
I was transformed into a bear. Magically. I was lifted into the sky by my brother.
You're crazy!
Gesundheit.
No. Fruitcake.
Are you okay?
No. That bear over there. He's crazy.
I am not crazy.
Who ever said you were? We understand.
You do?
Oh, yeah. You see, we're not moose either.
We're not?
No. We're like squirrels, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Beauty, eh? He's actually the squirrel, eh? I'm more of a purebred wolverine. Look at these cuspids.
Give him a little room.
Why am I even talking to a couple of dumb moose?
No, we're squirrels, eh?
Wolverine.
Kenai.
I'll find it myself.
Pushes them out of his way.
Oh, I wouldn't go that way.
Why not, eh?
Well, there was a reason.
Well, you brought it up. Come on, try and do it, but you're talking...
Kenai's leg is caught. He's swung through the air, his body crashing against a tree and rocks before bouncing bungee-like on his head, watched by the two moose.
So, you think of it yet?
Well, no, but it's driving me nuts, too, eh?
Kenai, caught by his back foot, is hanging upside down less than a meter off the ground. He spots a tree branch and swings his body in a wide curve so that he can reach it, as another four-legged creature scoots past. He leans down as far as he can and grabs the branch.
Hey, is the coast clear?
What?
Are there any hunters around?
No.
A bear cub leaps out.
How you doing? Guess you didn't see the trap, huh? I saw it from a mile away. You must be pretty embarrassed. Don't worry.
What?
You need to get down. Let me help.
Oh, wait. Ow!
Hold still.
No, just, ow, stop that. Oh.
The cub beats Kenai with the branch.
Stop it!
It's no use. The only way to get down is to chew your own foot off.
I don't need some stupid bear's help. I just need the stick.
Okay, here.
No. I'll do it myself. Put it back. No, where you found it.
Oh.
To the left. By the little rock.
Here?
Yes.
Okay. Boy, that tree is strong, huh? You know, when I was little, I was really into climbing trees. All kinds of trees. I climbed pine trees, oak trees, cedar trees, maple trees.
It's getting dark and Kenai's still trying to reach the branch.
And my tongue was swollen, and from that moment on, I was more careful about what I licked.
The cub slides it near to Kenai without his noticing.
See? It's all about... using your head.
Pulling himself up, he tries to break the rope with a twig branch. The tree branch snaps and falls.
That was funny. Do it again.
Don't you have some place to go?
Yeah, the salmon run. How about this? I get you down, then we go together. Deal?
Yeah, okay, fine. If you can magically get me down, I'll go with you to this...
salmon run.
Whatever. But if you can't, you turn around, walk away, and never come back. Ever.
You swear?
Yeah.
Pinky swear.
Yeah, sure, fine, pinky swear. But this is a human trap, and you're just a dumb little bear. So there's really no way you're going to be able to...
The cub sets off the trap again. Kenai's propelled up into the air, down to the ground, and snaps the branch.
Okay, so what I'm thinking is we travel by day and sleep by night. My bedtime is an hour after sunset. What I think...
The bear cub tenses with fear.
Run!
And lopes off.
Yeah, good riddance.
Kenai peers around uneasily and sniffs the air. Danahi appears some way behind him. Armed with his spear, he catches his breath. Kenai's eyes widen fearfully, and he gasps as he recognizes his brother. Danahi creeps towards the bear.
Danahi? Danahi, you found me! You wouldn't believe what a nightmare this has been!
Danahi raises his spear.
Danahi? It's me, Kenai!
Danahi lunges at the bear but misses. Kenai hurtles down the hill, rolling into the stream below. He picks himself up and scans the horizon for somewhere to hide. At the base of a glacier, he spots an opening and bounds off towards it. He makes his way along a narrow passage in the ice cave. He looks back towards the entrance. There's nobody there. He sighs with relief, cold air billowing out of his mouth. He looks up and gasps. Through the ice ceiling, he can see Danahi walking above him. Kenai scoops up the bear cub in his arms. Above their heads, Danahi moves on.
Hello? I can't breathe.
Kenai drops the cub on the ground. Miserably, Kenai wanders off, barely noticing the cub, who follows him at a discreet distance.
Why is he chasing me?
That's what they do.
But it's not like him.
Yeah, well, lucky for him, he didn't find us, because when I get in a fight, I go all crazy and I'm a raging ball of brown fur. I mean, I don't want to brag or nothing, but I got some moves.
Oh, really?
Yep, this first one, well, it's just a little thing I like to call the slasher. And this one I like to call Flying Fury of Death.
Uh-huh.
He's coming back.
Where?
The cop hides.
Typical.
Yeah, well, the next time we run into that hunter...
There is no we, okay? I'm not taking you to any salmon run.
What? But you pinky swore.
Yeah, well, things change. See ya, kid.
Kenai pads off.
Wait.
Then stops.
The truth is, I got separated from my mom. And now, with this hunter around...
Kid... I got my own problems.
Come on, please. Can't we just go together? There's a lot of bears and a ton of fish, and every night we watch the lights touch the mountain. And last year, Bucky found them.
What did you just say?
There's lots of bears and tons of fish.
No, you know where the lights touch the earth?
Yeah, it's the top of the mountain right by the salmon run.
You're kidding me.
No, they're practically next door. Come on, I'll show you. It'll be great. I promise to help you escape from every trap you walk into.
I'm not gonna walk into any more...
He trips on a rope.
Traps.
Come on.
The bear cub loosens it.
What do you say?
You're sure you can take me to where the lights touch the earth?
Yeah, no problem.
Kenai adopts a long-suffering pose, slapping his paw across his forehead and sighing.
If you slow me down...
I won't, I promise.
All right, we leave first thing tomorrow.
He turns his back on the cub and flops down on his side. The cub, breathing out clouds of cold air, peers nervously up at the ice ceiling and snuggles up against Kenai. Kenai sits up, looks around, and pushes the cub a few feet away from him.
And keep all that cuddly bear stuff to a minimum, okay, kid?
My name's not Kid. It's Coda.
Kenai flops back down on his side.
What's your name?
Next morning, out in the woods, Tuke and Rut, the Canadian moose, wake up.
Good day.
Hey, how's it going, eh?
Beauty. Oh, so we got a lot to get done today. You want to get started?
Yeah, just give me one sec, eh?
Okay.
Rut stretches his scrawny body, kicking out his back leg.
You just help me crack this.
All right. You ready now?
Almost.
Rut does a backbend stretch.
Just want to do dog facing forward.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, good. Okay.
And go!
They lower their jaws to the grass.
This is a nice patch here.
Oh, gee, don't go near this patch here. Something went here.
Far below them, Danahi wades through icy water as he comes to the opening in the glacier. He creeps inside. Elsewhere, little Coda sees himself reflected in the ice wall with a long, skinny neck, bulging eyes, and huge, scary teeth. Like in a hall of mirrors. Kenai watches him, distinctly unamused. Meanwhile, Danahi, with his spear poised, creeps around a rock. He notices ripples in the water, and with a triumphant smile, he leaps out from behind it. In front of him, a large block of ice dripping.
Skinny.
Fat.
Skinny.
Fat.
Hey, I've got skinny, a mountain fat. To get to. Come on, kid.
I told you before, my name's Coda. Say it with me. Coda.
Sure your mom didn't ditch you, Coda?
Coda slides off his icy rock and pads after Kenai. As Danahi comes out of the cave, Took looks up from his eating.
Rod?
Go away, eh? I'm eating twigs.
Rod?
Go away. You're breaking my concentration, eh?
We should start running.
Okay.
Lights out!
Okay. I'm still digesting, eh? I'll get cramps.
Danahi, scowling in frustration, looks up and sees the moose. Rod spits out his mouthful.
Oh, geez, after us!
Come on, run,
run. Oh, crap!
On a grassy meadow.
If you really want to know how me and my mom got separated, I was saving this story for the salmon run, but I'll tell you. It was probably the fifth or sixth most coldest day in my entire life.
Oh, this sounds good. You should definitely save it.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. For your friends.
Oh. Well, I have this other story.
Tell you what. How about no talking?
Okay. Then I'll sing.
No.
Tell everybody I'm on my way.
Will you stop it?
New friends
Come
and
on,
new
quit
places
it.
To see.
Shh. Coda, stop singing.
Kenai puts his paw over Coda's mouth and stuffs him into a hollow log. But as they travel on together, the little bear's childlike enthusiasm for life gradually wins Kenai over. Rot and Tuke gallop up.
How's it going, bear boy?
And, smallish bear?
Gee, I didn't know you had a little brother. He's cute, eh?
Well, actually, he's
okay,
just
okay, there's this hunter, eh? Following us. And we were thinking, if we could maybe just kind of hang out with you guys.
Yeah, just hang out, more, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, and it'd be fun, you know? And if the hunter was going to catch up,
then you eat him.
Right, well, that's what she was thinking.
We lost the hunter back under the glacier.
So you don't think he'll follow those?
They are quite nice.
They look back at the bear tracks.
I got an idea.
Okay, this is really weird.
They ride mammoths.
Get out, eh? I'm driving.
When can I have a turn, eh?
It's not as easy as it looks. Now just watch what I do, okay?
Let's get a back seat or something. I look like you hunted me.
From on top of the mammoths, Coda calls down to a rabbit, a raccoon, and a marmot, which jump onto the huge beasts. One mammoth curls her trunk around a reluctant gopher and hoists him onto her back to join the rabbit and her 12 white babies. A mouse and her two leap on. The mammoths come to a lake and wade straight in. Coda climbs onto his mammoth's trunk and is hoisted high into the air. Tuke and Rut, the two moose, cling on tight to their mammoth's trunk as all the animal passengers are lifted into the air. Later on dry land, Kenai and Coda lie cradled in the mammoth's tusks and trunk.
Yes, I'm on my way.
The mammoths trudge on through the night.
Okay, here's how I remember. If the snow's white, then it's all right. Yellow or green is just not clean. I learned that one the hard way. Oh, that reminds me. Last year at the seminar, my friend Bucky totally dared me. But I heard about this other cub who stuck his tongue to an iceberg. And then he started to float away. And so to save him, they had to, like, rip off his tongue. And so now he has to talk like this all the time. And
do you ever stop talking?
Oh, look, the night rainbow. You can see the spirits from here.
You know about the great spirits?
Yeah. My grandma's up there and my granddad. Mom says the spirits make all the magical changes in the world. Like how the leaves change color, or the moon changes shapes, or tadpoles change into frogs.
Yeah, I get it. You know, for a change, maybe they could just leave things alone.
What do you mean?
My brother's a spirit. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here.
You have a brother up there?
Coda points his snout at the sky.
What happened to him?
He was killed by a monster.
Coda crawls up the mammoth's tusk to where Kenai lies cradled in its coiled trunk.
What's your mother's name?
Sitka.
Thanks, Sitka. If it weren't for you, I would have never met Kenai.
Kenai looks at the small bear perplexed, then looks up towards the northern lights.
I always wanted a brother.
Coda snuggles up happily beside Kenai, who looks down at him and then wistfully up at the sky. Watched by a solitary bald eagle perched on top of a pine tree, the mammoths trudge on, and the jagged, snow-capped mountain range dwindles behind them. The following morning, Tuke and Rut lie across their mammoth's backside like a pair of limp rag dolls.
So, you want to play I Spy?
All right.
Okay.
I'll go first.
Okay.
I spy something green.
A solitary pine tree.
Tree? Oh, my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, I spy something tall.
Tree.
Okay.
I spy something with bark.
Tree.
Oh.
Okay, I spy something, a vertical log.
Tree.
Yeah.
Okay. I spy something. Oh.
Okay, my turn.
Tree.
No, I got
it. Oh, it counts.
I didn't even spy anything.
It counts.
Okay. Tree.
Let's play something else.
Coda, still asleep, slips down onto the snoring Kenai's head.
Coda, come on. Coda, wake up.
To my mom's mom.
Coda opens his eyes and blinks up at Kenai.
So, where are we?
As Coda peers out at the unfamiliar mountain landscape, his eyes widen in panic.
Well, which way?
I think it's that way.
You think or you know?
That way?
Why wasn't I turned into a homing pigeon? Come on.
Hey, riding mammoths was your idea. Thanks for the ride, guys. See ya. Lucky for you, I've lost worse than this before. Last summer, I was digging for roots with Bucky, and then
enough with the stories. I don't care about the time you and Binky found, you know, the world's biggest pine cone ever.
First of all, his name's Bucky, not Binky. Second, it wasn't a pine cone, it was a pine nut. And it was huge, even bigger than your fat head.
Oh, gee, our big guardian bear is leaving, eh?
Yeah, we better follow him. Come on.
Swing your leg?
I can't. Oh. I can't get off.
Me neither. Okay, you guys, I guess we'll just catch up with those guys later, eh?
Oh, good trip, eh?
Beauty. You know, I was thinking now it might be a really good time for me to drive, eh?
Just relax and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, okay.
Coda follows a cross-looking Kenai up a mountain track.
I'm sorry we're lost, okay? Even though it's pretty much your fault.
My fault? Ugh, that's it.
Just remember, if it weren't for me, you'd still be hanging upside down right now.
Yeah, well, better than being stuck in the middle of nowhere with you and your blabbering mouth. I'm lost. I can't find my mommy. Will you take me to the dam and run? Why don't you just grow up?
Fine, I'll just go on my own then.
Fine, go ahead.
Fine.
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 Coda turns crossly away and sets off in a different direction. Kenai watches him go. He shakes his head and sets off after the smaller bear. Ahead of him, out of sight, Coda is sniffing the air, anxiously.
Coda? Coda!
Kenai stares. On a large rock wall beneath the overhang of a mountain ledge, Coda has found a gallery of cave drawings. They both pad up to the wall. Among the drawings of deer and bison are some simple handprints. Kenai lifts a paw and places it over one of them. The huge furry paw with its long claws completely covers the small human hand. Kenai gulps and swallows hard. He stares at the painted animals. Mammoths, deer, moose, bison chase each other across the ceiling of the overhang in a huge spiral. Kenai wanders beneath them, gazing up in wonder. Suddenly, his eyes widen, and he comes to a stop. Painted on the far wall is a huge bear rearing up on its hind legs, its mouth frozen in mid-roar, is full of sharp teeth. The long claws on its forepaws reach out aggressively towards the second creature, a tiny stick-like figure of a man who holds up a long spear. As Kenai looks at the drawing, Coda hides behind him, peeping out at the two figures.
Those monsters are really scary, especially with those sticks.
Kenai looks down at Coda in surprise and then back up at the painting. He stares at the stick man, crouching with its long spear ready, seeing it in a new light. His face clouds over, and he looks protectively down at the little bear.
Come on, let's go.
Later on, a mountain path dotted with trees.
So, you recognize anything yet? Or maybe you can't see past my fat head. So, do you really think I have a fat head?
Well, if you hunched your shoulders a little, it wouldn't seem so big.
Oh, you mean like this? Or like this? How about this?
Ahead of them, two mountain goats are fighting.
That was good.
Hey, maybe they can give us directions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that clears up the sinuses.
Oh, it does.
Okay. Hit me again. I think she's looking. Hello, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, she's checking me out, all right.
What?
Hey, baby.
No. Come on, you nitwit. What? Are you out of your head? She's looking at me. Look at that.
Yeah, right, like she's looking at your ugly mug. Come on.
What? Excuse me, miss.
Yeah,
one second. It's go time, baby.
Oh, you want to go?
Yeah.
Come on, bring it on.
What's up?
Hey. Wait, hold on.
Excuse me.
What do you want? What is that? Who is that?
Just a minute, Bear.
Shut up!
No, you shut up!
Hey, will you shut up?
No.
Just shut up!
I think the horns are screwed on too tight.
Coda sniffs the air.
Oh, wait a second. I know this place.
You do?
Yeah, the Samaran's not far. We just have to go through here.
He looks down into a wide valley filled with hot mud pools and gushing geysers. Jets of steam burst up through the fragile Earth's crust. Kenai gapes open-mouthed in amazement.
What?
Coda leads the way through the steaming, smoking landscape.
Hey, you sure you know where you're going?
Yeah, follow me!
A geyser splits the ground by Kenai's shoulder. He peers ahead doubtfully.
Coda!
A bald eagle flies above him.
Coda!
Shattered trees litter the landscape.
Coda? Where are you?
Coda leaps out from behind a fallen tree trunk and jumps on Kenai's back.
Ah!
Don't do that!
Scared you, didn't I?
They're scared, and then they're surprised.
And you were both.
Coda stares at a rock formation that looks like a melting skull. With an evil grin, Kenai creeps up behind him.
Nice try. You got a spit right there.
Kenai wipes the drool from his chin.
Kenai!
You're not getting me this time.
No, Kenai, look out!
A spear just misses them. Denahi leaps out. Coda runs.
Come on!
Denahi advances with a knife. Another jet shoots up. As Denahi attacks, Kenai rears up and slams the ground, making a geyser spurt up between them. Kenai runs to where a fallen tree trunk bridges a deep, narrow ravine. He looks back but can't see Coda.
Kenai, where are you?
Denahi leaps through the smoke and grabs back his spear. Coda, surrounded by flames, flees as a figure looms up behind him. It's Kenai. He scoops the little bear up in his teeth. They reach the tree trunk bridge. Holding the scruff of Coda's neck between his teeth, Kenai tiptoes carefully along the tree trunk, glancing nervously down at the rushing blue river far below.
Kenai!
Denahi tries to dislodge the end of the tree trunk bridge with his spear. Kenai tosses Coda safely onto the far side. Danahi's spear breaks. He heaves at the trunk with both hands. Kenai leaps for the far bank and safety. The tree trunk topples, earth and stone fall into the ravine. On Kenai's side of the ravine, the tree trunk hangs on by a few roots. Kenai watches Danahi.
What are you doing? We gotta get out of here!
Danahi picks up a stone, throws it at the two bears, and collapses to his knees in frustration. Kenai stares across the ravine at his brother, turns sadly away, and follows Coda towards the woods. Danahi picks up the broken tip of his spear. Lashed to the flint spear tip is Kenai's small stone bear totem. Danahi's eyes narrow with determination. He runs to the lip of the ravine and jumps. He falls short, grabs at the tree trunk, and starts to climb up it. Kenai looks at him with concern. The tree trunk slips. Kenai tries to grab him, but it's too late. Man and tree trunk plummet to the river below. Danahi struggles to the surface and grabs at the tree trunk, staring up bitterly at the bear standing on the rim of the ravine, silhouetted against the evening light, and joined by a smaller bear. Danahi is carried away on the current.
Why do they hate us, Kenai?
We're bears.
So?
So, you know how they are. They're killers.
Wait a minute. Who's the killers?
Bears.
What? Which bears? I'm not like that, and you're not like that.
Well, obviously not all bears. I mean, you're okay, but most bears will look for any excuse to attack a human.
But Kenai, he attacked us.
Kenai stops, taken aback.
You know, you're just a cub. When you're older, you'll understand.
A seagull flies by.
Huh? We made it! We're here! Come on!
What? Coda!
A flock of gulls. Kenai falls into a stream. He grabs at a rock. It turns out to be a bear. He splashes round and bumps into another bear. A third huge bear rears up out of the water, a red salmon in its mouth. Kenai panics.
Huh? Hey, you're stirring up the water, dude.
Yeah, try not to scare off the fish there, buddy.
Tom!
Hey, Coda, come here! Look at you.
Hey, Tom, have you seen my mom yet?
No, as a matter of fact, I haven't seen her.
Me and my friend Kenai beat her.
He's with you?
Hi.
I've never seen you at the run before. Where are you from?
I mean...
And see, Kenai, there's a mountain, just like I promised. The lights flash the top every single night. It's gonna be a lot harder getting up there than it was riding those mammoths.
Mammoths?
Are you kidding me?
Hey, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, he does a lot of weird stuff. Like the way he drinks water with the leaf. He never sharpened his claws on a tree. He's never hibernated before.
Coda?
He has
Coda.
Licking some clean.
Can I talk to you for a second? Excuse us.
Tart, the biggest bear.
He's kind of jumpy, isn't he?
Okay. Coda, I gotta get going.
Well, when you come back, we can go and...
I won't be coming back.
What? Why not?
Because... Well, it's hard to explain.
You're leaving?
No! Well, yes. It's just that I don't belong here.
Don't belong? Every bear belongs here. Come on, buddy.
Everyone's invited.
Let's have some fun.
This is how we live.
Everywhere bears are splashing.
We're all here for each other.
Catching fish.
Happy to give.
And playing.
All we have, we share. And all of us, we care.
So come on.
Welcome to our family time. Welcome to our happy time.
and see friends again.
I'd be there for you. I know you'd be there for me too.
So come on.
Welcome to our family.
The bears that have come from all around to gather at the salmon pools try to teach Kenai to catch fish. Kenai plays with bubbles underwater and looks around in wonder. As bears dive underwater chasing a school of salmon, Kenai, still chasing his first one, plunges over a waterfall after it. Fish and bear bounce off a rock and fly high into the air. The other bears watch approvingly. In the pool below the waterfall, Coda floats on a log, licking off the last little bits from a fish skeleton. With a big splash, Kenai lands on one end of the log, sending Coda shooting upwards. Coda and the fish both land in Kenai's lap, the first fish he's ever caught. All the bears around the pool show their approval. In the evening, they sit round in a circle.
All right, settle down, everyone, settle down. Be quiet. Hey, don't throw your fish bones over there. Somebody can choke on that. Look, okay, I'll go first. Okay, let's see. The most interesting thing that happened to me this year. Oh, I know. Listen to this. I'd say it was when I finally knocked down that tree that was blocking the view from my cave. Now I got a family of chipmunks staying in my place.
The chipmunks glare at him.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Come on, let me see some paws in there. Who's going to be next? Come on. Watch me. Hey, gotcha.
This year, I lost my dear husband, Edgar.
Quit telling everyone I'm dead.
Sometimes I can still hear his voice. I'm getting the next one.
A foreign bear. The other bears look blank. They smile politely.
This is it! I got it!
I guess it's our turn. This is the year I met the most gorgeous.
No, you're gorgeous.
You're gorgeous.
Get a cave.
The boys just said us bullies.
If only Edgar was alive.
I told you, woman, I'm right here.
I love you, Buttercup.
This has got to be it.
Here you go, Coda.
You got to tell it, Kenai.
What?
That's right, Kenai. You caught it. You tell it.
Didn't you play this game when you were a cub? Come on, Kenai.
Okay, all right. You want to know what I did this year?
Yeah!
I went on the longest, hardest, most exhausting journey I've ever been on, with the biggest pain in the neck I've ever met.
Coda blinks unhappily.
What do you expect from a little brother?
He grabs Coda and hugs him.
Okay, buddy, your turn.
Let's hear it, Coda.
Okay, here we go. This year, I watched my mom in a life and death struggle against all odds, battling possibly the most fierce creature on the face of the earth. Okay, who's next?
Whoa, what?
Wait a minute. I think we all want to hear the rest of that one, Coda.
I thought you might say that. Let's see. It was probably the fifth or sixth most coldest day in my entire life. Me and mom were eating fish, having a great time, when all of a sudden, she pushes me into the bushes and tells me to be real quiet. She says, I smell something. So I start sniffing. There's something in the woods running right towards us, getting closer and closer. And then, out of the trees, jumps the hunter!
Kenai's eyes widen sharply.
And now, there's nowhere for Mom to go. The monster has her backed up against this giant glacier!
In flashback, Kenai relives chasing the fish-stealing bear.
The monster attacks! Ha! But Mom's too quick for him. And before he can do it again, she stands up real big and yells, "Go away!"
Kenai!
Then Mom smells more of them. There's a whole pack coming right at us.
No, the bear!
So she runs out to stop him before they can get to me. And they're all around her, poking her with sticks. The whole thing broke and it fell into the water. There was ice everywhere. She couldn't hold her breath any longer before, pow, she burst out of the water. I've never been so scared in my life.
Going after the bear.
Coda?
He relives killing the bear.
Because of the bad monster.
Whoa, fell off a glacier? I've never seen anything like that. Can you imagine?
Kenai is breathing heavily.
What's the matter, Kenai?
Coda, so what happened next? Was she okay?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Kenai, what's wrong?
Wasn't that to stop my mom?
Where you going?
She got out of the water, okay. But that's how we got separated. Right after that, I met Kenai. Kenai?
Kenai is running blindly through the trees, snapping small saplings that lie in his path. Finally, he bursts out into the open. Ahead of him is the Spirit Mountain, its top bathed in the mysterious blue-green glow of the northern lights. Behind and below at the salmon pools, the bears carry on with their revelry. Kenai paces agitatedly up and down. The following day, as dawn breaks over the distant mountains, he lies on a ledge overlooking the wide valley that separates the salmon pools from the mountain. His eyes are open and his body hunched miserably. Coda peeps over the edge of the ledge and launches an ambush.
Scared you again, huh?
Yeah.
Where have you been? You look horrible.
Coda?
My mom says when you eat too much fish, you should just lie down.
Coda. There's something you know that story you told me last night?
Yeah.
Well, I have a story to tell you.
Really? What's it about?
Well, it's kind of about a man. And kind of about a bear. Mostly it's about a monster. A monster who did something so bad.
Everywhere I turn, I hurt someone. But there's nothing I can say to change the things I've done. I do anything within my power. I give everything I've got. But the path I seek is hidden from me now.
I did something very wrong.
Brother Bear, I let you down.
I don't like this story.
You trusted me, believed in me, and I let you down.
Your mother's not coming.
Of all the things I hid from you, I cannot hide the shame.
No.
And I pray someone, something will come
to
take away the pain.
Coda scampers away from Kenai through the falling snow.
I know I can't be free, but I can't see another way. I can't face another day.
Coda shins up a tall tree and sobs.
Coda! Coda! Coda!
Kenai looks round helplessly.
Coda, I wish I could. If there was just some way. I'd give anything.
Coda listens but doesn't show himself. Kenai stares at his own paw print in the snow. He brushes his claws over the impression, blurring it into a shape more like a handprint. His eyes fill with sorrow.
I'm sorry, Coda. So sorry.
Snow falls steadily and lies thick on the ground. Kenai plods heavily away between the white blanketed pine trees, heading for the Spirit Mountain. Once he's out of sight, Coda climbs down from his hiding place and plops down on his haunches in the snow. His cheerful, youthful expression, totally gone. A Above the tree line in the barren snowy mountains, Danahi, now bearded, his hood drawn up, crouches miserably over the dying embers of his meager fire.
Sorry, Kenai. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I need help.
He turns round. Perched on a rock behind him is a bald eagle, jet black apart from his snow-white head and tail. The bird swoops low over his head and down the mountain slope.
Sika.
Danahi snatches up his spear and sets off after the eagle. Rut and Tuke, the two moose.
Look, I am sorry.
If I was driving, this never would have happened,
eh? Just stop it.
You never let me drive, you never let me do nothing.
I'll trample off, eh? I said I was sorry, let it go.
I can't believe you totaled a mammoth,
eh? Oh, come on, that mountain came out of nowhere.
I'm afraid I cannot accept your apology.
It was in my blind spot,
Hey, look.
What?
It's that little cub. Gee, hey, something's bugging him.
Hey, what's wrong, Smallish Bear?
Nothing. I'm fine.
Oh, good. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah, you're a big, selfish, reckless hoofer, and you're never going to change.
What?
I'm fed up with it, eh? From now on, he's my new brother.
You can't do that.
Sorry, you've been replaced with my dear brother. Gee, I forget your name. What's your name again, little bear?
I don't want any more brothers.
See? He's had enough of you, too, eh?
Oh, come on. I promise I'll change.
Trample off. You'll never change. Being a brother means nothing to you.
Of course it does, eh?
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Well, what about the time your hooves froze in the pond? Who sat with you all winter, eh?
You did.
And who showed you where the good grazing is? I mean, the really tender stuff, all covered in dew. Now, why do you think I did that, eh? Because I...
Coda listens.
Because I love... dew.
Excuse me? I don't believe I heard what you said.
I said I love dew.
I love dew too, eh?
Hey, I can change...
Go away.
Come on, I can change.
Go away, don't touch me.
I can change.
Hey, not there, that's the spot.
They wander off together happily.
Like we'll see you later, Smallish Bear.
Yeah, good day, hey. Hey, you know what this calls for? A pile of delicious barley and amber wheat on a cool bed of malted hops, eh?
I like it.
As the moose amble off in one direction, Coda looks in the other, to where Kenai's tracks in the snow lead towards the Spirit Mountain. In a blizzard, Kenai hauls himself up onto a ledge of the mountain.
Sika! Sika, are you there? Sika!
He stands up on his hind legs.
Please. Please, Sika. I don't know what else to do.
A large bird-like shape swoops down from the rocks above. Changing as it gets closer into a more human form. But it's not Sitka.
Danahi! Sitka! Hurry! Change me back!
Danahi charges with his spear. They fight, rolling around on the snowy ledge.
Where are you, Sitka?
Kenai pulls himself free, but Danahi follows. On the edge of the ledge, they teeter and fall. Landing on another snow-covered ledge 50 feet below, Danahi is the first to recover. He goes over to Kenai, turning the bear over with his foot.
Danahi.
He pulls out his knife.
Danahi, please.
A dark shape knocks Danahi over.
Coda?
Danahi gets to his feet. One small bear in front of him, the large one behind him. Beyond Coda, he sees his spear and makes a run for it. Coda runs too.
No!
Coda reaches the spear first.
Leave him alone!
Danahi grabs the spear and turns.
Coda! Ah!
The bears at the salmon pool stare up at the yellow and gold curtains of light coming from the top of the mountain. Danahi looks up to see the spirit eagle fly down, holding Kenai the bear in its talons. The snow around Danahi melts, revealing a carpet of spring flowers. In a swirl of light, the bear changes back into human form. Kenai looks in wonder at his human body. The spirit eagle lands and also changes into human form. Glowing in a golden light, the spirit of Sitka walks towards his brothers. He unties the bear totem from Danahi's spear.
Sitka?
Sitka gently closes Danahi's gaping mouth and takes his fur cloak from him. Sitka wraps the cloak around the naked Kenai. They turn towards the noise. Coda is peering out at them from behind a rock. Kenai walks over to the small bear and squats down in front of him. Frightened, Coda backs further into the shelter of the rock.
Coda. Coda, don't be afraid. It's me.
Coda looks at him in astonishment. His eyes widen. And he leaps into Kenai's arms. The little bear nuzzles against his cheek. Danahi looks on, puzzled and contrite. Kenai holds the little bear at arm's length and stares into its big, trusting eyes. He hugs the bear tight and looks up at the spirit of Sitka, who nods and hands him his bear totem. Kenai takes it, and he and Coda look at it carefully. Coda gazes up into Kenai's face. Kenai sighs and turns to his brothers.
He needs me.
Danahi turns to Sitka.
You know, he did look better as a bear.
Sitka turns quizzically to Kenai, who laughs. Kenai suddenly looks doubtful.
But Danahi...
It's all right, Kenai.
A golden light glows behind Coda. The small bear looks round and gasps. Danahi puts the totem round Kenai's neck.
No matter what you choose... You'll always be my little brother.
He holds up his hand, and Kenai grasps it. The spirit of Sitka nods approvingly. As Kenai and Danahi embrace, Kenai turns back into a bear.
Did I see little?
The three brothers, man, bear, and spirit, embrace. They look over at Coda. A large bear with a golden outline, the spirit of Coda's mother, is hugging her son. With a last fond look at his brothers, the spirit of Sitka walks over the flower-covered meadow towards the spirit of Coda's mother. Together, they rise into the glow of the lights, Sitka once again becoming an eagle. Coda turns to Kenai and leaps on him. Bear and cub tussle with each other in the flower-strewn clearing in the snow. Danahi leaps onto his brother's back and joins in the game. Later, back at the overhang in the mountain, the tribe perform a ritual dance as Tanana and Danahi light a ceremonial fire.
My brother Kenai went on to live with Coda and the other bears. He taught me that love is very powerful. And I passed on the wisdom of his story to our people. The story of a boy who became a man by becoming a bear.
The tribe make way for Kenai the bear to join Danahi at the wall of rock paintings. Coda, sitting with the children, watches as Kenai places his paw print among the handprints on the rock. A bald eagle, watching from a nearby rock, flies away. Brother Bear. As the credits roll, Rut and Took, the two moose, watch Coda practicing martial arts.
So, what are you doing there, smallish bear?
I'm practicing my moves. Want to see one?
Sure, eh? This ought to be good, eh?
Coda throws Rut on his back. Next, the moose talk with Kenai the bear.
Listen to me. Mm-hmm. I was a man that was changed into a bear. Mm-hmm. No beaver.
Right, right.
Man into bear. That's it.
Oh, yeah. So before that, he was probably a goat, eh?
Hey, what about a water buffalo?
No. He's a rabbit, eh? Look at his ears and his furry little feet. Watch out for the rabbit, eh?
No way.
An exercise class.
Okay, now, everyone, take a big inhale, eh? And then on the exhale, shift into salutation to the sun.
The two goats by moonlight.
No, you shut up! No, you shut up!
Kenai, holding a pot of black pigment in his paw, tries his hand at cave painting and produces a simple line drawing of a deer.
How you doing over there, Coda?
Oh, pretty good.
Coda has reproduced a full-color version of an impressionist painting by Seurat. Next, he and Kenai peer through a thick block of ice, which distorts their faces like a fairground mirror. A bear comes up behind them. His face, seen through the ice, looks perfectly normal. Coda and Kenai turn to look at him. Without the ice, his face is not very pretty at all. This audio description was written by Stephen Dobbin and by Veronica Hicks for IMS. DVD Studio Production at Aquarius.